Hello, Through the Word listeners. We are in Genesis 20 today, and Genesis 20 is a story about Abraham making the same old mistakes again. How is it that a faithful follower of God can keep on making the same stupid mistake? I hate it. I hate that awful sinking feeling when I know I messed up. And worse yet, when I knew better. I'm a believer. I'm not supposed to screw up. Well, if you are familiar with that feeling too, take heart. We're in good company. And if your mistakes make you wonder if God's calling on you is still valid, read Genesis 20 with me. The whole fiasco begins at verse 1. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So the chapter begins with a little deja vu. Didn't we just read this story? Abraham moves to a new land. He's afraid they'll kill him to get Sarah, his wife, who's so beautiful. So he says that she's his sister. And King Abimelech takes her to marry. It is the same story, only last time it was Pharaoh in Egypt. And it was 20 years earlier. Abraham just hadn't learned. Abraham's wife Sarah was beautiful, and this is the second time, on a visit to a foreign land, that the local king wants to take her to be one of his wives. Now Abraham sees this coming, and he is convinced that they will kill him to get to his wife. So he tells the people that Sarah is his sister. Now you have to ask, what happened to the man of faith, and when did he turn into a coward? He puts his wife in jeopardy to save his own hide? Thankfully, God was looking out for Sarah, even when her husband wouldn't. In verse 3, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife.'" So God says you're a dead man, and Abimelech pleads his innocence. He didn't know. And then in verse 6, "Then God said to him in the dream, 'Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her.'" So God protected Sarah, and God protected Abimelech as well. But what God says next is what really amazes me. In verse 7, "Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live." This is amazing. God tells Abimelech, now of all times, that Abraham is a prophet. That's wild. The only thing Abimelech knows about this man is that he lied. And God says, this guy's my prophet. A prophet is someone who speaks for God, and God is not ashamed of Abraham, even at his absolute low point. God sticks up for him. Now there is a true friend. There are two good lessons to learn here. The first is from Romans 11:29. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. In other words, if God has called you, if he's gifted you, God doesn't take it back. Now this explains a few things. It explains how a preacher can genuinely speak God's word and connect with people, and then sin terribly, which is awful, but it happens. And it explains that God is not done with you, even when you screw up. The second lesson here is that though a prophet speaks for God, he is not perfect, and most of what he says is not from God. Abraham is human, and he lied. So just because God chooses to speak through a man or a woman one time doesn't mean you should trust everything they say. So Abimelech wakes up in the morning, and he tells his servants about the dream, and everyone's afraid. Then in verse 9, "Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, 'What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done.' And Abimelech said to Abraham, 'What did you see that you did this thing?'" Now this is interesting. The pagan king finds out that the man who lied to him is actually a man of God, and he wants an explanation. Abraham attempts one at verse 11. Abraham said, "I did it because I thought, there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife." Now think about Abraham's excuse here a moment. He says that he lied because there's no fear of God in this place, so he's sure they were going to kill him to get to his wife. Abraham knows from experience that the fear of God restrains evil, but these people had none. Now here's the irony. Abraham blames their lack of God-fearing, but what was Abraham doing when he lied? Who was he afraid of? Abraham feared man more than he feared God, and that's why he lied. Believer, don't blame your failure on someone else's shortcomings. Yes, they affect you, but ultimately your actions are on you, and it is your respect for God that matters most. Your decisions are driven either by the fear of God or the fear of man. Not their fear, yours. Next, Abraham digs his pit a little deeper in verse 12. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So Abraham's trying to get off on a technicality here. I told the truth, just not all of it. It doesn't work that way. A partial truth with an insinuated lie is a lie just the same. If you purposefully mislead someone, although your words are technically true, you're still lying to their face, and it's a sin. Now, I don't know what Abimelech thinks of Abraham at this point, but that dream certainly put the fear of God into him. He returns Sarah to Abraham, gives Abraham a bunch of gifts, and tells him he can live wherever he wants. And then in verse 16, to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone, you are vindicated." There's a touch of sarcasm there when he says, "your brother." But to Sarah, Abimelech is very respectful, and he puts a great emphasis on her innocence. So did Sarah do the right thing? She honored her husband's request, stupid as it was. Abraham put her in jeopardy to save his own hide, the opposite of his calling as a husband, and she submitted and respected. Honestly, would you have done it? Sarah was faithful. She showed respect, even when Abraham didn't deserve it. Husbands are called to unconditional love, love like Jesus. But wives, do you recognize your calling to unconditional respect? Respect your husband, not for his sake, but for God's. Peter tells Christian wives to win their unbelieving husbands over with their respectful and pure conduct. Sarah was in a crazy situation here. There was no good, clean answer for what she should do. But Sarah decided to respect her husband's direction, and in the end, God protected her and vindicated her. That means she's guilt-free. And what about Abraham? In verse 17, "Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children." That is pretty amazing. Abraham prayed, and they were healed. Even after he made the same big mistake again, God desires Abraham's prayers, and he waits for them to respond. Read Genesis 20 today, and if you're a believer, consider the irrevocable nature of God's calling on you. Even when we mess up badly, God restores us and calls us to pray for the very ones who saw us fall. Why do we fall, Bruce? So we can learn how God picks us up.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.